Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. This special edition celebrates Ohio Goes to the Movies, a signature event of America 250 Ohio. Co-produced by John DeSando and Mary Urena and hosted by Mary Urena, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
It is always good to be ranked in the top 10. Your host, Mary Urena.
And I am Molly Kruseman, the director of Ohio Goes to the Movies.
And this is Double Takes. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you for accepting my invitation. We are talking about something that's near and dear to your heart, and that is movies affiliated with Ohio in our special series. And today we're talking about Rain Man from 1988. Can you tell our audience a little bit about the plot?
Tom Cruise is a wealthy, hip guy that sells fancy sports cars, wheeler dealer, who suddenly finds out he has a brother. And he goes to find his brother, and it's a marvelous coming together of two incredibly different people and finding all the love that they have for each other.
And it's a unique situation as well, because Charlie Babbitt, played by Tom Cruise, is estranged from his father.
That's right.
He comes to learn about his brother because basically when he goes to Cincinnati for his father's funeral and the reading of the will, he finds out that he's been left the 1948 Buick Roadmaster convertible and rose bushes. The rest of the multi-million dollar estate has been left in trust, and he goes through the process of figuring out who the beneficiary of that trust is, and it's his much older brother, Raymond, played by Dustin Hoffman. He is institutionalized because he has autism, but is also a savant.
Yes, which is often the case. Ironically, one of my very first volunteer jobs in high school, I worked at Neisonger at OSU, which is for people with autism. And this was, well, not quite the dark ages, but close.
Don't date yourself.
But it was an extraordinary experience because I came to see how people who are labeled as less than are often more than. So what I found with these folks were that they had the ability to focus in on things that most of us couldn't, that most folks with autism or that are on the spectrum, as we say, have almost superpowers in some realm of their life. And certainly the character Raymond in Rain Man has that capacity.
And you actually share some history with Dustin Hoffman. He spent a year preparing for this role. He talked to a lot of people. He observed a lot of interactions with people with autism or other forms of disability. But interestingly, he also worked in psychiatric unit or mental institution early in his career when he was trying to make it as an actor.
I think I remember that. And I didn't remember that just until you said it. But I believe, yes, that is true.
Yeah. And I would say part of the reason to see this film is not only is it a wonderful buddy movie, road movie, which is what it becomes when they leave Cincinnati, because Charlie, in order to acquire part of his dad's estate, basically takes Raymond away from the institution. And because Raymond won't travel anywhere that's dangerous, so they can't fly because he's aware there's been accidents with different airlines, except Qantas. Qantas doesn't fly out of Cincinnati. They come across an accident on the freeway, and then they have to leave the freeway and take side roads to try and make it all the way to LA, where Charlie's trying to pay for these cars that he borrowed the money to import in, these four gray market Lamborghinis. They won't get out of EPA inspection because they're failing, and he owes like $80,000.
It's a lot of money.
He's wheeling and dealing at this point. So he's trying to secure part of the estate because of his business interests, but also, I think, out of animosity towards his dad. And initially, I think, towards his brother. But what blossoms between them is really amazing. And I know Dustin Hoffman won the best actor for this, and, and rightfully so, because acting is so much about engaging with who you're in a scene with. In this case, because of his autism, he's one way for most of the film. There are glimpses of how much he loves his brother, Charlie, but he can only connect so much. And so really the burden is on Tom Cruise in this. And I know he was later nominated for Born on the 4th of July, but I actually felt like this performance, because he carries the weight and he carries the connection with Raymond, Charlie having to connect with Raymond, and evolve so subtly over the course of the film, that I was disappointed he didn't even get a nomination for this.
I have to agree. I really feel like in this film, he comes into his own as an actor. He stretched himself over the course of this movie because it's believable. Everything in this film is believable. You're never taken out of that magical realism, which for the subject matter is bravo.
Absolutely.
It's just incredibly well done, both by Dustin and by Tom. There's so many incredible things about this film. I had the chance to rewatch it recently as part of Ohio Goes to the Movies. So I got to see it at the Historic Plaza Theater, and actually the governor and first lady were with us also with some of their family. It was extraordinary. I had not seen that film in a long time.
Me as well. And I welcomed the opportunity to revisit
And I didn't know. I really was so trepidatious because I thought, is this going to hold up? We know so much more about autism and the spectrum. And will this feel like a caricature? Will this feel unworthy of portraying this part of our population? And I thought it absolutely held up. The only giveaway I thought of the time period was the clothing.
Very much so.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
As soon as Tom Cruise comes on camera, and he's in the first scene.
Yes.
Because the setup is about him importing the cars and being the wheeler dealer. So he's wearing very 1980s style hip clothing, and the hair is...
And the sunglasses.
And the sunglasses. And it's that gives it away.
It does.
Certainly Raymond's clothes do not give
them
away.
No, they're timeless.
They are timeless.
Yes. And there's like Cincinnati Reds things that he wears. And that is part of the joy of seeing it in Ohio, is you just feel such pride in it having been made here. It's interesting in a lot of ways. One of the things I say about movies, and specifically about seeing them in theaters, is so important right now. They take you to a place, or they show you a friendship, which is so antithetical to anything in your life. I think of The Shawshank Redemption. And yet, you feel for those characters. You get emotionally involved in those lives. You stop judging and you just start taking in these people where they are. And it gives you the opportunity to maybe change your mind about something.
Very true.
And I think right now that is so critically important, that we just find that time where we connect with each other. Instead of always talking about how we're different or what's wrong with everything or blah, 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 it's like, go to the movies, sit in a dark theater, have a communal experience, learn about a life that you may not have ever been in touch with, and just allow yourself to feel that and to have that experience.
And to feel it with others. I think your point about a communal experience, because... I mean, I did stream this at home. I didn't get a chance to see it in the theater with you. But when we're streaming something at home, we have the opportunity to pause and take a phone call and do other things. So the fact that you get to experience this in the theater still because of Ohio Goes to the Movies just makes it all the more enjoyable.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention, because he's received a lot of accolades for this, although he's not from Ohio, Barry Levinson was the director of this film.
Stunning.
And he actually makes an uncredited appearance at the end when they're now in Los Angeles and Charlie is trying to get custody of Raymond for all the right reasons.
For all the right reasons.
Because he's evolved as a human being at this point.
Yeah.
So it really brings a nice closure to the film, although the final draft of the script was delivered hours before the Writers Guild strike in 1988. There were no writers available to help close the movie out or make any adjustments to the script. So what we see is basically what they delivered without adjustment. It's an interesting context to the film. It did go on to be one of the highest grossing films, if not the highest grossing film of 1988. And in addition to Best Picture and Best Director and Best Actor, it also won the Academy Award for...
I think screenplay.
Yeah.
And I know that...
Best original screenplay.
Hans Zimmer did the music.
He did.
And it was a very pivotal score for him as well. It was very different than anything he had done before. And he stretched himself for this. One of the things I'm always fascinated about in movies is music, because that carries your emotional, whether you realize it or not. I mean, how many scary movies have you ever seen? If you turn the volume off, it's not nearly as scary.
Exactly.
Yes. So
and the music for this does stay with you. It's almost like another character.
It is.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the future when we talk about The Social Network. And we will talk more about the Ohio connections we have with Rain Man, and also just the Ohio film industry in general. What's your recommendation about Rain Man?
Absolutely go see it. I believe we are showing it a couple more times across the state, and all of the Ohio Goes to the Movies screenings are free and open to the public. So this is your chance to go see it on the big screen. You won't be sorry.
And we want to talk a little bit more about Rain Man. I actually took some notes as to sites in Cincinnati that for the most part are still in existence where it was filmed. And I actually have Cincinnati connections. My father was born and raised in Cincinnati, and I still have family there. So for me, seeing a film like this and the Cincinnati Reds references and all of that is really quite exciting. So they spent 9 weeks in principal photography in Cincinnati. Is that typical of a time frame for principal photography in a film?
Well, it depends on the film, and now everything is digital, so I can't remember in 88 if that probably was still on film. I can't remember.
I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, so then it's a big difference, because of course when you're digital, you can just keep going and going and going and making mistakes, and it doesn't matter. Film, you want to have it all set and blocked and ready to go, so you're doing one take.
Because that medium is expensive.
Because that medium is expensive, yes.
Our first encounter in Cincinnati in the film is actually the funeral scene for Mr. Babbitt.
Yeah.
That actually takes place across the river in Kentucky.
There you go.
At a different cemetery. But this is all greater Cincinnati. But then we're at Charlie's childhood home, which is a real home. It exists in the Walnut Hills area of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to give the address because I'm sure the people, you can, if you really want to go, you can find it online. But it's actually a beautiful home. It's privately owned still. I don't know who owned it at the time. The Cincinnati Trust, where he goes to investigate who is it that's benefiting from his dad's $3 million trust fund, actually filmed inside the historic Dixie Terminal building, which is on East 4th Street in downtown Cincinnati, so people can visit that. The Walbrook Institution was at St. Anne's Convent, which unfortunately is also located across the river.
That is across the river, yes.
The first hotel they stay in is still in existence, but not as a hotel. It's the Vernon Manor on Oak Street.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
First one. And then there's the famous scene in the Pompeo's restaurant where he counts the toothpicks.
Oh, yes.
Is just across the river in Newport, Kentucky. And then, of course, they drive across.
The bridge,
the Roebling Bridge, which I have walked across several times.
I believe that's famous because it was the prototype for the Brooklyn Bridge. Is that correct?
Yes.
Shabang.
You got that one right. And then, of course, the final scene before they hit the road is actually in the airport where Raymond refuses to get on the airplane to fly. So they really went all around the greater Cincinnati area, and it was great and refreshing for me anyway, because when I was looking at, I want to pick a movie that was filmed in Ohio, and then I thought, I also want it to be about Ohio.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to find that mix. You mentioned The Shawshank Redemption earlier, filmed entirely in Ohio, but actually takes place in New England.
Right.
And then A Christmas Story, very famously filmed in Ohio, but really took place in Indiana. And then I mentioned to you, we started recording, one of my favorite recent films is Super 8, which was a super fun, through the lens of a child, about filmmaking. And that takes place in a fictional town of Ohio, but it was filmed in Weirton, West Virginia. So what is it with the film industry and that kind of trade-off?
So this is a great question, and I will tell you, I am not a film commissioner, so first of all, I'm just going to say that, but I have spent the last 3 years really immersed in film in Ohio. So there's a number of reasons why that happens. Number one is, I hate to say it comes down to economics, but a lot of it comes down to economics of where people film. Most states now have a film tax credit. Ours is in about the middle of the road for film tax credits. Then the next thing you want to figure out is crew. Cincinnati and Cleveland have union crew. Columbus does not, unfortunately. So that changes what type of film can be made there. And then also it depends on the filmmaker. Like maybe they were from Indiana and so that's where they want to shoot, but for whatever reason it takes place in Ohio. I don't, you know, that's just kind of a funny one. But Ohio has stood in for New York and all kinds of different places, which is slightly phenomenal to say that we stood in for New York. But again, it depends on cost, crew, and kind of background you need to have, although obviously with CGI and AI, that's starting to change because you can be almost anywhere. But yes, that is why that happens.
But I like the authenticity of actually being on location, especially, yes. I mean, if you're making up a world, it's one thing to CGI it.
Right.
But if you're saying you're someplace that the public will know well,
it adds a layer for
it
sure.
It adds a layer it to does, it does. That I certainly appreciate.
Yes.
Most recently, Ohio was in the spotlight with Superman in 2025. And was Supergirl filmed in Cleveland as well?
No, I don't believe it was, but I could be lying. I haven't.
I'm not lying.
I don't,
not
think I've,
sure.
I don't think I've lied since the 70s, but I could be. I'm not sure, you know. So Superman was a super film. The jobs and the money that it brought to Ohio were absolutely extraordinary. And it's one of the things that I talk about as I go around the state, is most folks have no idea how many people work on a film set. The other thing is most people have no idea that you can have everybody from a high school dropout to a PhD on a film set, and everybody respects each other because everybody has their own job, and there is this beautiful choreography. Everybody knows who the next one up the ladder from them is, and everybody knows exactly what the dance is on a set. And unfortunately, we've seen instances where people don't know their role, and then not too good things happen.
Yeah.
So it's...
That happens in non-movie set business situations as well.
It does. It absolutely does. And these are living wage jobs that come to the state. So it's really beneficial to have a film tax credit that is enticing to folks. You know, Ohio is such an incredibly easy place to film. You can get around. It's affordable. There's housing. There's everything you need. Because again, people don't stop to think about all the ancillary economic value when a film comes to town. It's not just the hotels and the restaurants. It's the hardware store and the flower store and the paint shop and the blah, blah, blah. You want to encourage filming in your state. It's and again, as we've sort of disseminated across the U.S. with filming, it's not all happening in L.A. anymore. You're competing with a lot of different folks.
True.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's the added benefit for the success of a film like The Shawshank Redemption, where the tourism continues. They have actual Shawshank Redemption tours. Sadly, there's no Rain Man tours in Cincinnati. There are movies that result in touring.
Absolutely.
The Sound of Music tour in Austria is very popular with tourists.
The Sound of Music, the woman who played the original captain's fiance,
Eleanor Parker,
is from Ohio.
I did not know
she is from Ohio. And in fact, we're hoping to show The Sound of Music at the Little Art House Theater in Yellow Springs. And we're hoping that her son will be coming to do a Q&A.
Well, you'll have to keep me put on
I will do that.
So your point about how many people are involved in filmmaking, and I know John and I have talked about, we actually stay and watch the credits out of respect for everyone who has been a part of the film. And oftentimes you learn something about the film that you didn't know. And I would encourage people, when they see Rain Man, to watch the credits, because Raymond is taking pictures on his little camera throughout the entire film. And during the credits, they actually show them.
Show the pictures.
Show
yes.
the pictures yes. from Raymond's point of view.
That's kind of like an Easter egg, what you're saying.
It
there.
Is. It's yes. a little Easter egg. But but if you get up and leave too soon, you'll miss it.
You miss
so
it.
So I
it's
want
true.
People to see the world through Raymond's eyes. It's a nice ending to the film after the film has already ended.
Yes.
So is there anything else you'd like to share about Ohio and the movies?
I will say that this job as the director of Ohio Goes to the Movies has been the most extraordinary experience of my life. It is the best job I've ever had. And one of the things that's so amazing about these events is we've allowed every single venue to create their own events around these films. And what people are coming up with is nothing short of extraordinary. I just went to see Air Force One. Most folks don't know, the only stunt company between New York and LA is here in Ohio.
Wow.
They had the actual stunt people that were in Air Force One were there. And they said, would you like to see a demonstration? And before we knew it, there were people flying over chairs. They had stunt people hidden all through the audience. I mean, it was amazing. We were all like yelling and clapping and cheering. And so many people are doing so many amazing things for these screenings. So I really encourage folks to get out and see some films.
Well, and a link to Ohio Goes to the Movies is in our show notes. So check us out online and learn more about Rain Man. One fun fact before we go, the Buick Roadmaster convertible plays a big role in this film because it's what Charlie's left by his dad, and then Raymond, they connect because he goes up to the car and says, knows everything about the car and says he used to drive it slow on the driveway.
That's right.
This 1949 Buick Roadmaster convertible, two were used during filming. Mm-hmm. One was modified in order to handle the weight of the camera equipment and the cameraman, and that was actually bought by Dustin Hoffman coming out of the film.
Nice.
He fully restored it and recently sold it at auction for $335,000.
Wow.
And the modified car, Dustin Hoffman had the unmodified car.
Okay.
And it was restored and then sold at auction. The modified car, which had the suspension upgraded to bear the additional weight, was actually bought by Barry Levinson and fully restored. And to my knowledge, he still owns it.
Oh my God. Do you know also that Steven Spielberg was originally supposed to direct?
And yes, he was.
And
he was
from Cincinnati.
And he's from Cincinnati, one of several directors, and just like one of several actors that were considered for
yes,
both roles.
Yes, and could you imagine anybody else in those roles? Absolutely
it's
not.
It's the cinema magic of
we
getting the right people.
We need everybody to go see this film and let us know if they could think of anybody else that could have done those roles.
And if you do, email us.
Yes.
But one more final thought to our audience about the film.
I just highly recommend it. It's a beautiful film, and you'll leave feeling really good about life.
Well, and I agree, and it certainly stands the test of time to make it a cinema classic.
It
Thank
does.
You for joining me, Molly.
Thank you so much, Mary.